worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song again.
Amen. Father, we thank you today for your great love for us. We're so grateful, Lord, that we can come and gather and worship you, Lord God, and bow down before you. Adore you, adore our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh God, you're so worthy of our praise. Lord, our words are inadequate, yet you've given us words to be able to express praise and honor, and adoration and worship of you. So we bow in your presence and we say thank you for your greatness, your power, your forgiveness, your great love for us that you demonstrated in Christ. Lord Jesus, we're grateful that you gave yourself on that cross and you thought about us, Lord God, and you took on all our sins. You took the punishment from the Father in our place. And for that, we're thankful, Lord, you didn't come down. You wouldn't come down, oh God, because you have loved us with that everlasting love. And for that expression, that great and magnificent demonstration of love, we worship you. And Lord, we thank you for our moms. We're grateful for you giving us the mothers that you have given us, Lord God. We pray that they would be blessed, that they would be encouraged, that they would be honored. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. 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 It's a great, great blessing to be here today and to be able to stand and to share for a few out of the Word of God in honor of moms. I'm grateful to come each Mother's Day and to be able to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. Mothering is not easy. I can't say I know from personal experience. I see it from a distance. I experienced it, but I'm grateful for all the mothers in the house. I'm thankful for my mom and the years that she invested in her boys and girls and the sacrifices that we saw her make for us so that we could make it in life. And I know you other mothers have done the same thing for yours as well. So I thank God for Margaret Sanders and just her great investment and her great sacrifice for us. But if I can publicly say, I'm thankful for my mother-in-law. It's always good to see her coming in, so I have to give her some kudos. She's like my second mom, and as I say every year, and I'm honest about this, she loves me, that I know, and she loves her kids, and I've never had 1 ounce of difficulty with her. And I hear stories about it. I don't know about that, about the bad relationship between sons and mothers-in-laws. That has not been, thank God, my experience. Mother Brown has treated me just like a son, and so I give her all the kudos in the world for who she is and how she has treated me over the 37, 38 years that Sister Banks and I have been married, so I'm grateful for that. But I'm also grateful for my wife and her being mother to our children and grandmother to our grandchildren. I'm grateful for her. She's a chip off the block, and she invests a lot in them, and she invested a lot in Natasha and Nathaniel, so I don't often mention it, so if I can take advantage of where I stand and give Sister Banks some kudos, I'm thankful for my wife there. Thank God for her. And I have to throw in my daughter on the side there, too. She's a mother to our grandchildren and the Robertson's grandchildren, so I know they're just as thankful for Byron and Natasha and just the investment that they make in raising the grands. It's a blessing, you know, to see yours growing up and becoming whatever God intended them to become. Amen. Amen. Don't want to spend too much time. I know you want to celebrate your mom, so I'm going to hurry along here and get out of the way so we can get on and enjoy the rest of the day with our mom. So if you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, we'll say a few words from there and a couple of other passages too. But Ephesians chapter 6, I'd like to read that as our anchor passage for today. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 1, where it reads, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth." Amen. Amen. I won't do an exhaustive pulling out or exegesis of the text, but just give an overview of things for today. Honor your mother is the title of the message today. Honor your mother. A 4-year-old and a 6-year-old presented their mom with a houseplant. They had used their own money, and she was thrilled. The older of them said with a sad face, "There was a bouquet that we wanted to give you at the flower shop. It was real pretty, but it was too expensive. It had a ribbon on it that said, quote, 'Rest in peace.' And we thought it would be just perfect since you are always asking for a little peace so that you can rest." Moms, I pray that you will be rested today and refreshed today and in the future as you are honored by those who love you. Our objective is to give thanks to God in honor of our mothers. Our mothers come from God. God gave us our mothers, and we thank God and we honor our mothers because of what God has done in allowing them to birth us. A couple of things we'll say today. Point number one, moms, as far as it has to do with why we should honor moms, I think moms deserve honor because of their God-assigned position as mom. Their God-assigned position as mom, and we see that in Ephesians 6, verse 2, where Paul tells the church to honor children, to honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and mother. There are two commands children are given from the Lord in regards to their relationship with their parents: to obey them and to honor them. Pretty simple and straightforward, right? To obey them and honor them. Honor means to hold our moms in high esteem. It means that you greatly value your mom. She's not just another woman. She's not your friend, if you will, in that regard. She is someone that, in your estimation, is high and lifted up. Not above God, but as the woman who brought you and brought us into the world, mother should be honored, the Bible says. You respect her. You respect her because she is your mom. You only get one mama. You're mindful of how you talk to her. You don't give her a whole lot of lip. You don't give her disrespectful looks, as I see some children doing these days. You don't talk to her in any old kind of way, as we might hear some kids doing these days. You have a healthy reverence for your mom if you honor her. You have a healthy reverence for your mom that is demonstrated in how you treat her. Paul told children to obey parents because this is right. Because this is right. He didn't say obey your parents because they get you a pair of Nike shoes. He didn't say obey your parents because they buy you all the games that you want. No, he didn't say that. He said obey your parents, children, because this is right. Why is it right? Because it is the way the Lord designed the family to function. God has authority over parents, and parents have authority over children. Whether children like to hear that word or not, parents have authority and should take authority over children. Children who choose to rebel against their parents are really rebelling against God, because he is the one who designed the family to function with parents, mothers particularly today, as the authority over their children. I say it once, I say it 100 times, I say it on campus, that children don't know what's best for them. They don't. You got to release them so that they begin to make decisions as they get older, but I still say, I'm old school, children don't know what's best for them. That's why God gave them parents. Jesus honored his mother, and he honored all women as persons of value and worth created in the image of God. He honored her when he was a child, even to the point of submitting himself to obedience to the Father by agreeing to take up residence in the womb of Mary for 9 months. Jesus honored his mother by submitting to her when his parents had to go back and find him after they had left Jerusalem, and he stayed behind to teach the religious leaders. He went back with them. Jesus honored his mother even in his death when he looked down at her from the cross and saw her sorrow and said, dear woman, here is your son. And he said to John, John, here is your mother. The promise of Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, which is echoed here in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians looks back to Deuteronomy. Paul pulls from there. The promise is, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded, Deuteronomy 5, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you in the land or on the land which the Lord God gives you. There's a promise in that to us children, thinking about obeying and honoring our parents. God has promised. God has promised. Children who do not honor their moms by disobeying them set themselves up for a hard knocks life. And life is hard enough as it is, but when you disobey your mom, you set yourself up for a harder life. The promise given by God is that obeying and honoring your parents will bring good into your life. You will have a quality of life that will do you well if you listen to your mom and follow her godly counsel. We're not talking about listening to moms who give you poor, devilish advice, if you will. The Lord promised you a quality of life, not a perfect life, not getting everything you want, but a well-lived life that circumvents evil and makes choices that bring good into your life and good to others as you walk in step with the direction that your mom gives. Most of us adults here today can probably testify to the fact that when we didn't listen to mama growing up, life didn't go too well, did it? No, we thought we was grown, and we thought we knew better than mama, and we made our decisions, and things just didn't go quite right. I reflect on that sometimes. Maybe you reflect on that sometimes. God knows what he's talking about. He said, children, honor your father and your mother. Honor your mother. Moms are worthy to be honored because God said that they should be honored. God said, honor your father. Honor your mama. Honor them. The Lord has commanded us to honor our mothers, if for no other reason than the fact that she's mama. That's my mama. And I'm determined to honor her. And we should be determined to honor our moms. They are the chosen vessels of God to be, they were the chosen vessels of God to be the human incubators where he creates human beings and brings them into the world so that they may know him and love him. That's a mom's task. Moms are, should be honored because God said so. But not only that, moms deserve honor because of their prayers for us. I know we have some praying mamas in the house. I know I had a praying mama and still got a praying mama. I know that. Moms deserve honor because of their prayers for us. I thought about 1 Samuel chapter 1, 24 through 28, and many of you who are Bible readers, you know the story. It's the story of Hannah. Hannah didn't have a child, and she was aching. She was in pain, and Peninnah, who was her rival, had children. And Peninnah would just pick at Hannah, and she would talk about Hannah. She would make fun of Hannah. She would provoke Hannah. Year in and year out, the text tells us. And Hannah put up with all of that because Hannah was a mother who was a woman of God. And Hannah prayed to the Lord for Samuel before he was born. And in that passage, it says Hannah goes back to the temple and Elkanah is there. And she says, I prayed for this child. After she takes him back, she said, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. Hannah said, God heard my prayer. Hannah prayed to the Lord out of the bitterness of her soul before she had Samuel. She prayed out of the bitterness of her soul. She prayed boldly and told the Lord the desires of her heart. She said, Lord, give me a child. And she prayed expectantly until the Lord answered her prayer. And I'd like to insert the fact that Hannah understood the providence, the sovereignty of God. Because if you read that text, 1 Samuel, you'll read in there around verse 5 or 6 that it says that the Lord had closed up Hannah's womb. And Hannah understood that it was God who kept her from having a child, but it was also God who was the one who was able to open up her womb. So she went to him in prayer, and Hannah went to the source of life. She was a praying woman. She understood that it was God who could bring it about. And see, mothers who prayed are to be honored. Mothers who are praying mamas and grandmamas and praying aunts and stepmoms and surrogate moms should be honored. They should be honored because they take time out to take their children to the throne of grace. Any of you moms ever done that? And some of you have done it when they were little and you're still doing it now because you got some grown kids. Mothers who pray ought to be honored. They have the confidence to go before the Lord. It may not be looking too good right now, but they have confidence in God, knowing that he hears them and that he will respond to their prayers in his time and in his way. Mamas who pray should be honored. Moms who pray know where to go first. Where to go first, not second or third down the line. Mamas who pray know where to go first to find help for their children and for themselves. And they know what their children are going through. And they know how to take them before the throne of grace. And they go to the Lord who created their children. Mamas recognize that children ultimately belong to God and not to them. They go to the one who knit them together in their womb. Moms who pray understand that. Moms know that the Lord knows them, their children, better than anybody else. So they're going to go to him. And they do. And that he is able to intervene in their lives for their good and for God's glory. Mamas who pray understand that. That God knows and God can intervene. Life lesson is this. Moms need to do and keep doing some warfare praying for their children. Warfare praying. What is warfare praying? Warfare praying is when you cry out to the Lord for his help, for his power, his intervention in your children's lives, in situations, in your own life, in the lives of those that you're surrounded by. You pray for his intervention in their lives because you know without a shadow of a doubt that we are involved in a spiritual war. A spiritual war. Mamas who pray, pray because they know that. I thought about Matthew 15, 22, when the Canaanite woman, the sister, she went crying out to Jesus, and she said, "Lord, Son of David," recognizing that he was the Messiah, "Son of David, have mercy on me." She didn't first say, "Have mercy on her daughter." She said, "Have mercy on me," because when kids go through, mamas go through, right, mamas? When your children are hurting, when they're caught up in sin, when they're wrestling in life, you are wrestling. And this mama is an example of that. She said, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." See, moms who really pray, I'm not talking about "now I lay me down to sleep" prayers. I'm not talking about that. No, I'm talking about mamas who understand what this mama understood was the fact that her daughter was demon-possessed and was suffering and was struggling in life because the devil had a hold on her. And she went to the source because she understood that spiritual issues have to be fought with spiritual weapons. See, moms who really pray know that there is an unseen spiritual battle taking place for the minds and the hearts and the souls of children, and they know that they need to use prayer and the word of God as their weapons of mass destruction to prevent the schemes of the devil from taking children and people captive. Mamas who pray understand that. Because Satan has infiltrated society, the hearts of people, the mind, on every front. But the Bible says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. The Lord quickly took me to that verse. The reason that Jesus came was to destroy the works of the devil. The reason he died on the cross was to destroy the works of the devil. The reason he got up from the grave was to deal with the works of the devil. He did that on the cross. He did that when he rose from the grave with all power in his hands. You see, there's an intentional demonic strategy working its way through society and homes and hearts. And I see it in the public school system. And it's to indoctrinate children, people, to the ideologies of Satan taught by demons instead of the truth of the word of God. You know, the word of God says that. Paul told Timothy, he said, in the last days, there would be doctrines taught by demons. And I'm here to tell you that moms who pray understand that. And they know that. They know that they're not just dealing with surface level issues. Moms who really pray know the reality of the spiritual battle that their children are in and people are in, even though the children don't understand that. Even though children, they don't know what they are dealing with. That it is the devil and the evil in their own hearts that they're wrestling with. But mamas who pray do. They understand that. Godly moms understand that the devil wants to sift children as wheat by any means necessary, so they pray. He'll go at them through music and by hooking them up with ungodly friends, by luring them to his side through drugs and sex and violence and money. godly moms understand that the battle against evil is the Lord's. And the victory that we have in Jesus Christ begins on our knees. Mamas who pray with this understanding, they should be honored. They should be honored. See, one mom wrote the following, and she told the story of how she struggled with her troubled prodigal son. She said, and I knew what to do. I knew what to do. It wasn't any question in my mind. I didn't take him to a psychiatrist. I knew what to do. I prayed the prayer every mother must pray for her child, whether that child is a prodigal or not. By the power, and this is what she prayed, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, bring every thought and imagination of my child's mind, every emotion of my child's heart, every deed of my child's hands, every step that he takes, bring it under your lordship. Lead him to love you with all his heart and all his mind and all his soul and his neighbors as himself. She prayed that right from Scripture. Right from Scripture. Matthew 22. Listen. Moms, pray. Keep praying. I appreciate you moms that pray, that cry out to God in behalf of your children, in behalf of people. Keep praying for your child before they go out into the world. Don't wonder whether they're going out into a safe haven. They're going out into the battleground. Pray. Pray that God will keep them from the evil one and from yielding to the evil circumstances that they will without a doubt face. See, we cannot lock our kids in a closet to protect them from the world. We like to do that, but that wouldn't be okay. That wouldn't do them any good. We can't lock them up, but we can pray that the Lord would be their refuge and their shelter when they go into the world. Satan is on a rampage, and we need some mamas, some praying mothers, and some praying grandmothers, and some praying godmothers, some praying sisters and aunts, and so on, and so on. We need people who pray. I had this illustration about Helen Baylor. I don't know if you're old enough, you know who Helen Baylor, she's a gospel singer now, but she hasn't always been. And Helen Baylor made a song, and she talks about how she could sing, and she got all the exposure, and she became famous, and she was a singer with all kind of famous singers and whatnot, Stevie Wonder, Aretha Franklin, B.B. King, Bill Cosby. She opened up for them, but she got caught up into all the drug scene and all of that other stuff that comes along in that. But she says she started out in the church. Her grandmama would take her to church. But she got away from all of that because she loved the money. She loved the exposure. She loved the popularity, and she got away from all of that. She became a cocaine addict. She married her producer who was a cocaine dealer. The devil had to set up for her. But this is what she said. She said, I had a praying grandmama. I had a praying grandmama. I had a praying grandmama. I wish I could locate it here. I don't have time to locate it because time is getting by me. But she said it was one instance she was watching Christian television, and she was listening to what they were saying. And after she got saved, she said that her grandmama told her that it was at that time that she was praying for her to come back to the Lord. And she came back to the Lord. Listen, Helen Baylor's grandmother's prayers got through. Your prayers can get through too. Grandmamas, mamas, stepmoms, don't stop praying. I know what you say, well, it ain't doing no good. You don't know that. Stop thinking for God. God is the one who works. We walk by faith. We pray by faith. We keep praying. We don't feel like it. Life is caving in on us. It hurts. It's a lot of pain. Hannah went through a lot of pain, but she prayed out of her pain. God help us not to give up praying. In season and out of season. Moms, we honor you for your perseverance in prayer. Stay at it. Never give up praying for your children, even when they grow up. Especially when they grow up. Keep praying. Because grown kids can lose their minds too. Some of us have, haven't we? Maintain your hope in the Lord and what He is able to do in the lives of your children. Oftentimes I don't put a whole lot of stock in what my kid might do. But I put a whole lot of stock in what God is able to do. And at the end of the day, when the Lord calls me home, as we sung, when my time is up, at least I'll be able to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I didn't give up on you. I gave the child an opportunity by praying for him. And I didn't let go of the throne of grace. And what he does with you, that's his choice. That's the kid's choice, not ours. Mamas who pray deserve to be honored, but also moms deserve honor because of their belief in us and encouragement to us. Anybody have a mom that encouraged them? Believed in them? Well, you remember the account in the Gospel of John where Jesus turned the water into wine. Well, it was Mary, his mother. You know the story. It was Mary, his mother, who got him to do it. They ran out of wine. Mary called on Jesus. I don't know in her mind if she was thinking about Jesus performing a miracle. But she knew that there was a problem that needed to be solved. And Mary believed that her son could solve the problem. She had birthed him. She had watched him grow. And again, maybe she didn't think about him turning water into wine when she went to him with the problem, but she did believe that he was going to do something to find an answer to the problem. We honor you, moms, for believing in us, even at times when no one else did. Moms are our biggest cheerleaders. Mama will love you when nobody else seems like they do. Moms are often the voice of encouragement in the ear of the child that enables him to stay at it when he feels like quitting. Stay at it. You hear that voice. You can do it. Don't quit. Don't drop out of school. Don't go that way. Mom's voice saying you can is often louder than the negative voices urging you to quit, because there are a lot of those voices in the world. A lot of those voices. Moms, your words of belief and encouragement to your children, young and old, make a difference. Keep saying those words. Not only that, moms deserve honor because of that, but moms deserve honor because of their proclamation of the truth to us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 through 17 talks about Paul is writing Timothy, and he said, Timothy, I see the faith that's in you, but it was first. Timothy, it didn't just come from you. No, it was in your mama and your grandmama. That's where your faith came from, Tim. They proclaimed the truth to him. Ileon Jones said, I ask you, who was greater, Thomas Edison or his mama? When Thomas Edison, was a young lad, his teacher sent him home with a note which said, Your child is dumb. You can't do anything for him. Mrs. Edison wrote back, "You don't understand, my boy. I will teach him myself." And she did, with the results that are well known today. Solomon told his son to listen to the teaching of his mother, because it would give him wisdom for life. It would protect him from so-called friends that would lead him into evil rather than good. He said, listen to the teachings of your moms. Mothers are their children's first teachers. And what children need more now than ever before is to be taught the word of God. Mothers who teach the truth to their children, who share the truth and principles from the word of God, should be honored. Paul told Timothy, continue in what you had been taught. What had he been taught? He'd been taught the scripture. He'd been taught the word of God. And who taught it to him when he was in his infancy? It was his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. Mothers, you need to be, and we appreciate you for being intentional about teaching your children the truth as given to us in the word of God. The church is not the first place that children should learn what Jesus has said in his word. I'll say that again. The church should not be the first place. It should be the home. It should happen in the home. Moms play that key role in conveying the truth. Children need truth today. I'm here to tell you they need the truth of the word of God today. Well, you say, well, they ain't going to listen. Too bad. So what? We still tell it to them. They need to hear God's truth from scripture, especially in a world turned upside down. See, moms, what you say or don't say to your child makes a difference. Don't be silent, mamas. Children will turn up their nose. They'll act like they don't want to hear it. No, you got to hear. You listen to all this other stuff. You got to listen. You need to know the word for yourself so that you can converse with your children the truth about Jesus Christ and the Christian life. Others don't know your child like you do, moms. You know the truth about what they need. You know the issues they're dealing with. And you have them as a captive audience in your home. And you can walk them through the truth to convey to them what God has to say about what's right and about what's wrong. The last thing is moms. Why moms deserve honor. Moms deserve honor because of the sacrificial love they demonstrate for their children. How many of us have seen our moms just sacrifice for us? Just do things just to be. And you know what? I believe this to be the case, that the children, we don't know the half of the sacrifices that mamas make in behalf of their kids. Because mamas don't go around boasting and say, hey, look, I did this, I did that. No, moms just do it. They dig deep in the pocket and from their hearts to give so that their kids can make it. And kids, sometimes we can be such ingrates. Yeah. Kids, you need to be thankful. We need some thankful children. And let me say, if we got two or three in the house that say they're Christians, you need to be thankful to your mamas. And dads sometimes too. Moms, let me run on because I said I'd be finished early today. Moms deserve honor because of the sacrificial love they demonstrate for their children. Let me read this story. I read it before, but I want to read it. It's a little lengthy, but hang in there with me for a minute. My mom only had one eye, this person writes. My mom only had one eye, and he says, I hated her. She was such an embarrassment. My mom ran a small shop at a flea market. She collected little weeds and such to sell. Anything for the money we needed. She was such an embarrassment. There was this one day during elementary school. I remember that it was field day. Field day is at the end of the year when the kids just run around and have fun. I remember that it was field day, and my mom came. I was so embarrassed. How could she do this to me? I threw her a hateful look. The evil eye. You kids know about that. We know about that, don't we? Said, I gave her the evil eye and I ran out. The next day at school, the next day comes, somebody said to him, your mom only has one eye. And they taunted me. I wish that my mom would just disappear from this world. So I said to my mom, Mom, why don't you have the other eye? You're only going to make me a laughingstock. It was all about him, wasn't it? Just like it is today. It's all about the kids. Why don't you just die? My mom did not respond. I guess I felt a little bad, but at the same time, it felt good to think that I had said what I had wanted to say all this time. Maybe it was because my mom hadn't punished me, but I didn't think that I had hurt her feelings very badly. That night, I woke up and went to the kitchen to get a glass of water. My mom was crying there so quietly as if she was afraid that she might wake me. I took a look at her and then turned around. Because of the thing I had said to her earlier, there was something pinching at me in the corner of my heart. Even so, I hated my mother who was crying out of her one eye. So I told myself that I would grow up and become successful because I hated my one-eyed mom and our desperate poverty. Then I studied really hard. I left my mother and I came to Seoul and studied Seoul, Korea, and got accepted into Seoul University with all the confidence I had. Then I got married. I bought my own house. Then I had kids, too. Now I'm living happily as a successful man. I like it here because it's a place that doesn't remind me of my mom. This happiness was getting bigger and bigger when someone unexpected came to see me. What? Who's this? It was my mother, still with her one eye. It felt as if the whole sky was falling apart on me. My little girl ran away, scared of my mom's one eye. And I asked her, who are you? I don't know you. As if I tried to make that real. I screamed at her, how dare you come to my house and scare my daughter? Get out of here now. And to this, my mother quietly answered, oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I have gotten the wrong address. And she disappeared. Thank goodness she doesn't recognize me. I was quite relieved. I told myself that I wasn't going to care or think about this for the rest of my life. Then a wave of relief came upon me. One day, a letter regarding a school reunion came to my house. I lied to my wife saying that I was going on a business trip. After the reunion, I went down to the old shack that I used to call a house just out of curiosity. There, I found my mother fallen on the cold ground. But I did not shed a single tear. She had a piece of paper in her hand. It was a letter to me. She wrote, my son, I think my life has been long enough now, and I won't visit Seoul anymore. But would it be too much to ask if I wanted you to come visit me once in a while? I miss you so much. And I was so glad when I heard you were coming for the reunion, but I decided not to go to the school for you. I'm sorry that I only have one eye. And I'm sorry that I was an embarrassment for you. You see, when you were very little, you got into an accident and lost your eye. As a mother, I couldn't stand watching you having to grow up with only one eye. So I gave you mine. I was so proud of my son. That was seeing a whole new world for me in my place with that eye. I was never upset at you for anything you did. The couple of times that you were angry with me, I thought to myself, it's because he loves me. I miss the times when you were still young around me. I miss you so very much. I love you. You mean the world to me. My world shattered, he said. I hated the person who only lived for me. I cried for my mother. I didn't know of any way that I will make up for my worst deeds. Listen, a mom who gives herself so that her children and others can live demonstrates a love like, yes, the sacrificial love of Jesus, who gave his life for us and covered us with his blood. See, Jesus sacrificed himself so that we might live, just like that mom sacrificed her eye so that her son might live. Jesus put that type of love in you, moms. He put it in you. He put it in you. And for that, we should be most grateful. Mom's sacrificial love for us reminds us and should remind us of the sacrifice of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of eternal life. Won't you bow with me? Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for your great sacrifice. Your life for our life. Lord, we were messed up, sin sick, couldn't see. And you came to give your life in our place so that we might live. We thank you for your great sacrifice. And Father, we pray. We pray that you would help us to see, even though our moms will never fully express all the sacrifices that they made, even though we won't know them until we get to heaven, Lord, I pray that we all would be mindful of the sacrifices that our moms made and continue to make. Lord, I thank you for the mothers and the surrogate mothers, the aunts, the grandmothers, the godmothers who sit before me today. We're thankful for them. We thank you for them. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us how to honor the women in our lives, to hold them in high esteem. And I pray that they would be greatly encouraged, that they would be built up in the midst of being torn down, that they would be strengthened when they feel weak, as they draw their strength from you, that they would be encouraged when everything around them is trying to discourage them. I pray that through the work of your Spirit, dear Lord, you would dig deep within their souls and do some soul care on them, that they will walk in your grace, walk in the truth of who they are as precious women of God. We thank you for them, Lord. We love you, and help us to love them in a way that they're deserving to be loved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I wonder if there's a mother, a woman, a man, woman, boy, or girl today who has never accepted the sacrificial love of Christ for them. The Bible says that the Lord loved us so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, extended to us the gift of life. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, you can come and you can say, I want to give my life to Christ. I know I'm a sinner, and I believe that Jesus died to forgive me of my sin, and I want to start off this Mother's Day giving my life to Christ. Not for your mom. You don't come